Our scripture lesson today is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Paul's letter to the Romans is very different than the other letters he wrote. In the other letters, Paul was writing to churches he was familiar with, that he had a relationship with. If he hadn't directly started them, he at least knew the people. But this letter to the Romans is very different because Paul has never been to Rome. He has never met these people. They are strangers. And yet it's a place he is planning on going, on his way to Spain to start a ministry there. Paul has spent his life since he became a Christian, or not a Christian, but a follower of Christ, of the way, traveling around, spreading the word about Jesus. And so he's planning to head to Rome, a very important center of the world at that time. And this letter was written to introduce himself, to let them know who he was, to prepare them for him coming. And so this letter has actually been referred to by some people as Paul's theology. Paul's introduction to them of who he is, but also what he believes and what he wants them to believe. And so in today's verse, 8 short verses, we have so much of Paul's theology about the world, about who he is, and about how he thinks we should be, packed into 8 short verses. Every time I've read this scripture this week, and I've read it probably 20 times this week, something new popped out at me and another thought came. With so much in one short reading, sometimes it's hard to know just where we want to go. So I'm going to be going several places, but I want to start where Paul started, and that is that idea of sacrifice. Now, Paul lived in a world where sacrifice was not uncommon. For some of the Gentile pagans, there was probably still even some human sacrifice. But even as a Hebrew, because Paul was Jewish, sacrifice was very important to who they were. You would go to the temple and sacrifice what you could, depending on how much money you had. It might be a simple little pigeon, or it could be a whole steer or bull, because a sacrifice had to be a perfect animal. And that's why you had merchants that were out in the temple that sold animals for sacrifice. One of those things Jesus fought about when he was alive, when he overturned the temple, the tables of the merchants in the temple. But for Paul, that type of sacrifice was gone. Jesus had taken care of that. But because Jesus had taken care of that, we were called to sacrifice. Every one of us were called to sacrifice. And that was an important part of Paul's life. Paul understood that idea of sacrifice. Not sacrifice of death, as those animals in the temple were put to, although Paul certainly understood that because of the ministry he had undertaken, the possibility of sacrifice to death was always there, as it was for many of Jesus' followers who did suffer that sacrifice. In fact, before Paul became a follower of the way of Jesus Christ, he had been one of those that persecuted the church, who actually caused the death of others. You may remember the story of one before Paul, while Paul was still Saul, when Stephen was being stoned to death because of his faith and his unwillingness to renounce God and Jesus Christ, that Paul stood by and held the cloaks while people were stoned. So yes, Paul understood the idea of sacrifice. Sacrifice wasn't just something you did on Sunday, but it was something that took over your whole life. He uses the words here, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, to become an important part of Jesus' life and teachings in your whole life. We understand today that for many people, their faith is little more than Sunday morning on worship. They'll come and the rest of the week, they are conformed to the world. They're conformed to their business life, to their family life, with little thought to what it means to follow Jesus. But that wasn't acceptable to Paul. You needed, if you were going to follow Jesus, to be transformed, not conformed, but transformed into the world. To think about what you were doing, to study. Paul uses those words, to use your brain. It's not just about heart, but it's to use your brain to understand what your faith leads you to be totally transformed. And so in these words, Paul is calling people to sacrifice for their faith. I think in our world today, we understand that sacrifice. We use that word a lot. A business person who is intent on getting to the top may sacrifice their family life and everything else in their life to be so focused on being successful that they lose a lot of else. Parents often sacrifice for their children, giving up some of those material things they would like so that their kids can have what they want them to have, the classes, the good clothes that make them feel more comfortable in school, all those things. Maybe even for people that don't have a lot of money, giving up the food that they could eat to make sure their kids are hungry. I read a story on Facebook this week of such a woman that was doing that. She had lost her job. She had a six-year-old. And a policeman had been called because she was shoplifting. And he found out that the reason she did it was because she was trying to provide food for her children. That policeman bought food for her. But she was willing to sacrifice her very freedom to do what she had to do. Yes, we sacrifice a lot in life. Right now, we have our first responders who are risking their lives to take care of COVID patients. We have teachers that are preparing to go back to school and some that have gone back to school with a great deal of fear for their own health. But because of their love of teaching, of the children they teach, they're willing to make that sacrifice. Doesn't mean they're not afraid, but they understand what their job has called them to do. But unfortunately, so often in the church, we don't understand that kind of sacrifice for our religion. Yes, so often our religion ends, our faith following of Jesus ends when we go out the door on Sunday. And for Paul, that's not the way it should be. It should be incorporated into our life. Doesn't mean that you need to be working for the church, but you need to have that faith as part of who you are every day. Paul understood this. Paul traveled around, and one of the ways he made a living when he was traveling was not just depending on people giving him money or giving him the food. But he was a tent maker. In fact, we use that term today for pastors that have a full-time job or a part-time job outside of the church and also work in the church. We call them tent makers. And that comes from the fact that Paul made tents. And I want you to imagine Paul. Now, Paul, for him, his faith was everything. He was going to spend his life living, following Jesus. So I want you to imagine Paul sitting under a tent, making a tent, sitting with leather on his lap and a needle and thread. But I'd be willing to bet he had people sitting around him while he was doing that, and he was talking to them about faith. That's how Paul incorporated his faith into his everyday life. In spite of the fact he was sitting doing his job, he was sharing his faith. And that's what he's calling for us. Yes, not all of us can sit at our jobs. In fact, most jobs would not be happy if you sat there and talked about your faith. But you can demonstrate how you follow Jesus Christ and how you live your life. If they start telling off-color jokes at work, what do? Do you go along with them? Do you laugh? Or do you say, you know, I'm not really comfortable with that? If they start telling racist jokes, do you laugh and just kind of maybe cringe inside? Or do you say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that? That's the kind of following that Paul is talking about. Our life is part of our faith. Our faith is part of our life. And Paul's called us to find our own gifts and to use those gifts in our life. Because you know what? Within the church, if we call people to particular jobs because that's their gift, they do a better job at it. So often in the church, when there's stuff that needs done, we ask somebody to do it just because it fills a job. But you know what? Even in the church, if we're using our gifts, we do it more joyously. We do it with more faith. We have people in this church that I know do that, that come forward and use their gifts for their faith. When we needed a sound booth made because we were expanding our audiovisual, we had two members, Bill Shields and Jim Bader, who came forward using their gifts. They understood what it meant to use their gifts for the church. Rather than us having to pay to get that done, they came forward, they designed it, they built it, and they did it with love for their church. We have people every day that are members of this church that are living out their gifts and how they do their work. We have people that are volunteering here on Sunday morning because they love their church. But each and every one of you can find out what your gifts are and within your everyday life use those gifts to glorify our God. How do we do that? How do we find out what our given gifts are? Paul has a list here, but it's not intended to be an exhaustive list. There are many things that we can do that demonstrate our faith. Our teachers, when they go to work, and they teach with love, and they look for the children that need maybe a little extra attention, that are willing to get out there and do what needs to be done, often spending their own money for their classrooms. They're demonstrating their faith. They don't have to stand there and say, let me tell you about God. When they show love and concern for the children, they are demonstrating their faith. They are living out their faith. When our doctors, our nurses do that, if they're doing it in faith, there's a difference. You can tell the difference of a person who does what they do because they love it, because it is what they're called to do. That you've all seen people in every profession that are there because they're collecting a paycheck. But you can tell a teacher that loves their job. You can tell a doctor that loves their job, a person that's working behind a desk that loves their job. And that's demonstrating the love, the God-given love that we have, and finding how best we can live our lives, how best we can serve our God. That's what Paul is talking about here, that when we do that, we are lifting up Jesus Christ to people, we are lifting up our faith. If we come to church and hear about love and then go out and do our job where we're trying to cheat and steal everybody we can, do whatever we can to make an extra buck, we're not demonstrating our faith, because we talk each week about God's love for us and God's love for others. And that doesn't mean only people that we know that have faith, but all people, because you never know when you live out that love, people are going to see that and say, I want what that person has. And maybe they'll even ask you about it. That's what Paul's talking about. Every part of our lives should be dedicated to living our faith and finding out what that is. And there's many ways to do that. We offer classes around here that help us understand how we can better live in the world and make a difference in the world. And we can pray. You know, so often when we pray, we're praying to God. But to truly understand how God wants us to live, we need to listen to God. When I was doing my sermon this week, I spent a lot of time doing what we call centering prayer. When we're open for in-person activities, that's one of the things we offer here, where you just sit and listen. I would read the scripture and then sit for a while and listen for what that scripture was saying to me that I needed to hear and what I wanted you to hear. If you haven't been doing meditation of any kind, if you haven't been doing a devotion, what a perfect time now. We have time now that's not always available. Take some time to listen, to just sit quietly, to read a scripture passage, and then listen to what that scripture passage is saying, what God is saying to you about how you should live your life. One of the things, and that doesn't pertain just to people, that pertains to the church. Several years ago, we did a study of Joan Gray's book, The Sailboat Church. And the premise in this book is that there are two kinds of churches. There are rowboat churches, and there are sailboat churches. A rowboat church is one that depends totally on human beings trying to make decisions, coming up with plans, without taking the time to listen. A sailboat church is one that takes the time to listen to what God's will is for the church. Yes, in study, but also in prayer. Because without both of those, we have a hard time discerning where we should be going. A part of my devotions every morning is listening to Richard Rohr. And his organization is just about that. It's contemplation and it's action. Those are two things that work together well for our faith. And when we have both, we begin to understand who we should be. Paul says we all have gifts. We just have to find out what they are. And that's how we find out what our gifts are. And then making the decision that somehow in our lives, we're going to incorporate these gifts. A reoccurring theme Paul has in many of his letters is about the body. That the church is the body. There are many parts of the body. We have our hands, we have our feet, we have our voices, we have our singing voices, we have our heart. And each of us, if we find which part we are of that church, can make a difference. We know where the church would be without music, and we look forward each week to the music. But we also know how important it is that we have people running the sound and the PowerPoint and the Facebook Live. They are giving their gifts to the church. Each of you can find out what your gift is, and you too can make a difference. We have members that are, during this time, spending extra time making phone calls, reaching out to people, helping them feel not so alone when they're alone. They're giving their gifts to the church, to the world, because we have heard over and over how this pandemic is affecting people. That there are deaths actually coming from this pandemic that are not related to COVID-19, but to where we are living right now, so often with loneliness and isolation. Each of you can make a difference in this world. During this pandemic, it's harder. You can't do some of those physical outdoor things, but you can all make a difference. You can share your faith in everything you do. And that is what each and every one of us are called to do. Not just an hour a week, but 24 hours, 7 days a week, we are called to sacrifice for our God. Amen. These last few months have shown us, like never before, that the church is not the building. The church is the people. And the church is not just the people within one individual church, but it is all the people that are a part of the church and the world. It is how we live our lives. And as I think about this, I remember a song that was very popular back in, I guess, in the 70s, by a group called Avery and Marsh. I actually got to go see them in concert one time, and I remember this song so well. And it's so apropos for today. It goes, "I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, we are the church together." Remember that, each and every one of you. You are the church, and you can be the church in the world this week and forever. Go now and be the church. Amen.